cell phone check?
Yes, we do. For pills and cell phones.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 4, Text 6. Katam,
Katam,
Alakshitaha,
Alakshitaha,
Paurahi,
Paurahi,
Sampraptaha,
Sampraptaha,
Purujangalan,
Purujangalan,
Unmatta,
Unmatta,
Muka,
Muka,
Jaravat,
Jaravat,
Vicharan,
Vicharan,
Gaja,
Gaja,
Savhaye,
Savhaye,
Katam alakshita paurai.
Katam alakshita paurai.
Samprapta kuru jangalam.
Samprapta kuru jangalam.
Unmatta muka jaravat.
Unmatta muka jaravat.
Vicharan gaja sahaye.
Vicharan gaja sahaye.
Tama lakshita paurahi.
Tama lakshita paurahi.
Samprapta kuru jangalan.
Samprapta kuru jangalan.
Matta muka jaravat.
Matta muka jaravat.
Vicharan gajasavhaye.
Vicharan gajasavhaye.
Katama lakshita.
Katama lakshita paurai.
Samprapta kuru jangalan.
Samprapta kuru jangalan.
Unmatta muka jaravat.
Unmatta muka jaravat.
Vicharan gaja sabhaye.
Vicharan gaja sabhaye.
Katama lakshita paurai.
Alakshita paurai.
Samprapta kuru jangala.
Samprapta kuru jangala.
Unmatta mukha jaravat.
Unmatta mukha jaravat.
Vicharan gaja savaye.
Vicharan gaja savaye.
Katam
alakshita paurai.
Samprapta kuru jangala.
Unmatta muka jaravat.
Vicharan gaja sahaye.
Ladies.
Katam alakshitaha paurai.
Katam alakshita paurai.
Samprapta kuru jangala.
Samprapta kuru jangala.
Unmatta muka jaravat.
Unmatta muka jaravat.
Vicharan
gaja sahaye.
Katam alakshita paurai.
Katam alakshita paurai.
Samprapta kuru jangalam. Unmata mukha jadavat. Vicharanga jasaye.
Katam.
Katam.
How? Alakshitaha.
Alakshitaha.
Recognized.
Paurahi.
By the citizens.
By the citizens.
Sampraptaha.
Sampraptaha.
Reaching.
Reaching.
Kuru Jangalan.
Kuru Jangalan.
The Kuru Jangala provinces.
The Kuru Jangala provinces.
Unmatta.
Unmatta.
Mad.
Muka.
Muka.
Dumb.
Dumb.
Jadavat.
Jadavat.
Stunted.
Stunted.
Vicharan.
Vicharan.
Wandering.
Wandering.
Gajasavaye.
Gajasavaye.
Hastinapur.
Hastinapur.
How was he, Srila Supadeva, the son of Vyas, recognized by the citizens when he entered the city of Hastinapur, now Delhi, after wandering in the provinces of Kuru and Jangala, appearing like a madman, dumb and retarded? Purport. The present city of Delhi was formerly known as Hastinapur because it was first established by King Hasti. Goswami Shukadev, after leaving his paternal home, was roaming like a madman, and therefore it was very difficult for the citizens to recognize him in his exalted position. A sage is not, therefore, recognized by sight, but by hearing. One should approach a sadhu, or great sage, not to see, but to hear him. If one is not prepared to hear the words of a sadhu, there is no profit. Shukadeva Goswami was a sadhu who could speak on the transcendental activities of the Lord. He did not satisfy the whims of ordinary citizens. He was recognized when he spoke on the subject of Bhagavatam, and he never attempted jugglery like a magician. Outwardly, he appeared to be a retarded, dumb madman, but in fact, he was the most elevated, transcendental personality. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadavayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavascha Sri Rupam Shagrashatam Shahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Pitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandha Jagatpate Gokesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Bhavulaki Radhe Shri Prishabham Sute Devi Paramani Muni Priye Vanchako Hantaru Jascha Kripa Sanjo Vedaja Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Katam Alakshita Paurai Samprapta Kuru Jangalam Unmatta Mukha Jadavat Vicharan Gajasa Ye. the sages were inquisitive, how was Shukadev Goswami recognized by the citizens of Hastinapur? The answer, of course, is that he wasn't. They couldn't recognize Shukadev Goswami. From their external, mundane point of view, he was a crazy fellow. Unmatta Mukha Jada. He appeared to be really gone. We have sometimes people who are a little eccentric, a little strange, but Sukadev Goswami was way beyond that. Unmatta, crazy, and Mukha, not speaking, and Jada. Jada means like a, the modern word would be, give me a moment, catatonic. Catatonic, a case, a person who's just no action, no affect, no, just sitting there. There are people like that, they just don't. Seems like there's nothing going on upstairs. They're just dull. So it appeared like that, that he was maybe sometimes crazy or sometimes dull and not speaking. So the Hastinapur residents couldn't understand that he was a great soul. It's described that when he arrived at the assembly of sages, he was being followed by women and children who were, what would you say? Just
mocking.
What's the word?
Mocking.
Yeah, mocking. Like not exactly mocking, but you know. How when kids or women see something, so you know, look at that, you know, something exceptional. Like you know, life gets pretty dull, but when there's something exceptional, then everybody goes, "Whoa, look at that! Did you see that? What is it? Hey, look at that guy!" You know, everybody starts bubbling about it. Everybody's got to talk and. Look at that, he must be a crazy guy. Well, I don't know, isn't he? So he was being followed by children and women who were, for whom he was a spectacle. And they didn't understand at all who he was. Till he arrived at the assembly, and then all of the sages stood up when they saw him. Then the women and kids, whoa, something else is going on here. So they faded away. They could understand that this is beyond us. The English expression is, it takes one to know one. An exalted person can know another exalted person. Just like there was one Vamsi Das Babaji, who during the time of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who also appeared like something like a madman. But he was accepted by the members of the Gaudiya Math was worshipped, respected, because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw, here is a great soul. Otherwise, how do we know? That's similarly, we disciples of Prabhupada. Yeah. How do we know who's a great person and who's envious and who's just a rascal? We went by Prabhupada's expert guidance. He would say, or we'd see who he would appreciate and who he would dismiss. He's a rascal, don't associate with him. And someone else, Prabhupada would appreciate him. He's very advanced. So in that way, by following the judgment of the self-realized souls, we can understand. And how do they understand? Or how can we also understand? By hearing.
Chanakya Pandit says that a fool goes unrecognized as long as he keeps his mouth shut. As long as he keeps his mouth shut, he can, you know, have a big beard and bright sparkly eyes, and he can look like a pakka sadhu, very austere, or so many things. But as soon as he speaks, then you start to see what's going on. When he speaks, then you see, this person's a Mayavadi. This person's just a fool. Or this person understands the Siddhanta, the Vaishnava conclusions, by hearing. There are so many things that are understood not by seeing, but by hearing. I think there's some bird, I forget which bird it is, it looks very ordinary, but when it sings, maybe it's the nightingale. Does the nightingale look like a very ordinary bird?
Mockingbird.
Mockingbird? Mm-hmm. Looks very ordinary,
the
right?
The catbird, yeah, the catbird. Mm-hmm. The gray bird. The gray bird, the
catbird. Kudari bird?
A gray bird. They call him the catbird.
Catbird.
Yeah, just gray and ugly, but sings.
A very ugly bird. But when it sings, then there was some recent thing in England, so they have some television show where the amateur people kind of get a chance to perform. And there was one lady who was very ordinary looking, not very attractive looking, and kind of dumpy looking, actually. And people thought, oh, okay, here we go again, you know, another dumpy looking lady who thinks she can sing. And when she sang, everybody went, whoa. She was like, I think singing opera or something like that. And everybody was like, wow, we haven't heard anything like this. And you know, all the record companies wanted to sign her up the next day. And it was sensational. As long as she just would, by seeing, she just looked like a very plain, dumpy looking woman. But by hearing, she was a great singer. So, the sadhus also. Of course, their speaking is not professional speaking. That's another thing. People who don't know how to hear, they're impressed by a person who's very slick and professional, who has good jokes, who sings very nicely, who speaks in a very nice way. And they're impressed by that. They listen. But what they're listening for is different from what an advanced transcendentalist is listening for. The advanced transcendentalists don't want to know how good the jokes are or how nicely the person can speak, how good his accent is or anything like that. What is he saying? That's the final conclusion. What is he saying? And what the actual sadhu says is not just something meant to please people. That's what people generally want, is someone who will pat them on the back, someone who will say, yes, what you're doing is very nice. Yes, just go on like this. Very good. Very nice. Give some ashirvad. And they'll be happy, yes. We met a very nice sadhu. But a real sadhu is not like that. His business is not just to make people happy by telling them what they want to hear. Maybe the professional people are like that, because if we say what people don't want to hear, they won't come to hear us anymore. Our business will be finished. We'll no longer be popular. But an actual sadhu, he tells the truth as it is. He tells the truth as it is. Therefore, we saw that Srila Prabhupada was not very eager to tell all the nice, lovely things that people like, and simply some beautiful pastimes, and everybody can sort of feel good. Then we go for an evening and we hear some katha and we feel good, and then we go home. Prabhupada was actually for disrupting the materialistic life of the hearer. As residents of this material world, every one of us is afflicted by the heart disease, bhava rog, the disease of maya, which subjects us to repeated birth and death. That disease has to be cured by the sadhu, by application of transcendental sound. If he simply goes on, yes, you're living in nice maya, very good, that's not his job. We saw that Prabhupada was very strong. That life is not meant for gratification of the senses. Life is not meant for eating, sleeping, sex, and fighting. Life is not meant simply for where is money, where is money, where is money. During the day, where is money? And at night, sleeping or having sex. That's not the business of human life. And Srila Prabhupada's business was not to simply smile on it and give his blessing, but rather to cut the knot of material attachment. What is that? Hridaya Grantis? Bhavasam Shaya? What is that phrase? Chidyante.
Sarvasamshaya.
Chiyante. Shasya Karmadhi. The business of the transcendentalist is to cut this knot in the heart, Hridaya Grantis. Chidyante, Sarvasamshaya. So many doubts are there about transcendental life. And we're thinking that material life is somehow going to work. But the sadhu says, no. Dukkhale mashashvatam, the material world is not the place where we'll be happy. This is ashapasha shatayar bandha. We're simply bound up by so many false hopes. Durashaya ye, bahirartha manina. We're thinking that by these external interests, by our interest in the external energy, our life will be nice, our life will be happy, our life will be fulfilled. But this is durashaya, a hope that will never be fulfilled. So the sadhu's business is to say plainly these things. Sukadeva Goswami was not a person for simply going around from home to home and giving some ashirvad and eating nicely and taking a good collection and blessing the baby. That was not his business. It's described he would stay long enough to milk a cow. That means just in and out. And when he would go, then they might hear something of spiritual value. But he doesn't stay for material comfort. The so-called spiritual master who simply lives at the expense of the disciples, comfortable life, secure life, he's kind of a bum. He doesn't work, but he simply lives off those who are working. He's like a parasite. And what does he give? He's just like a little ornament in the house, or like a puppy dog. You know, the puppy dog is one of the part of the household scene. So the wife is there, the children are there, the daddy is there, the television is there, the puppy dog goes woof, 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 and the whole scene is a scene of family happiness. And then the guru comes and he plays his part, he gives his blessings to everyone and says some sweet words. Sometimes gives some financial advice also about which stocks are likely to go up. Or he does a little magic, and everybody goes, oh, Guruji. That's just another feature of the illusory energy for staying captivated by illusion. That's not the Guru's That's not the bona fide guru. The bona fide guru has the mission of speaking on behalf of Krishna. And Krishna's mission is very clear. Sarvadharman pratyajya mamekam sharanam. You give up all your rubbish and surrender to him. Manmana bhava madbhakta, like yadi mamekam. Krishna's mission is very plain. And the bona fide spiritual master has no other purpose. He knows, I don't have to work, I don't have to please these people for my livelihood, because Krishna is providing. The rivers are providing water, the trees are providing fruits. Even in the forest, one can live by collecting roots and berries. One can get clothing from the bark of the trees. For the bed, any 6 feet of ground will do. For a pillow, your arm is all right. So why do we have to flatter some materialistic person so that he'll give money? That's not the business of the bona fide spiritual master. His business is to deliver the message of Krishna. That your money is not going to save you at the time of death. Your high position is not going to save you at the time of death. Your family is not going to save you at the time of death. One has only Krishna can save us at the time of death, and for that we have to be Krishna conscious. So the spiritual master has a message to speak which can actually deliver the conditioned soul from the clutches of birth and death. But one has to find such a sadhu and hear from him. People typically either don't want to hear, they want to hear from some materialistic person about motivational psychology or about any rubbish. Or if they want to hear from a sadhu, they just want to hear a few pleasant words. Why do they? Oh, we just want your darshan. And photo snaps. Now it's practically, darshan means that we go and we have our picture taken and business is finished. Maybe we give a few dollars or a few rupees, we have our picture taken, we say, how are you, Swamiji? And we get some nice words in exchange, and then the business is finished. That's useless. Might as well go see the Grand Canyon. But the real purpose is to hear very seriously about the mission of human life, to hear about the science of Krishna. That's the purpose. The sadhu is not a person simply for socializing and exchanging sweet words. He has serious business to do. He has to speak the message of Krishna. No magic. There's so many magicians who become popular. Although Pyari Mohan Prabhu, our Vaishnava magician, he's seen the biggest sadhu magician on video. He says he's not even a good magician. Not even a good magician. Oh, the pure devotee speaks about the pastimes of Krishna, but not in a whimsical way, simply to satisfy people. We tell some nice stories and everybody feels, oh, this is very nice. But one has to understand the meaning. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata chakdva deham punajanma naiti mamiti. One has to understand who Krishna is. Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not an ordinary human being. And we're servants of Krishna. Prabhupada, this is our simple message. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is servant of Krishna, jivera sharupoya krishner nitya das. Therefore, our business in human life is devotional service. And this Hare Krishna chanting means serving Krishna and distributing the message of Krishna. Jai Dabhutai Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desire that Amaragya Guru, that it's not simply that we'll sit and hear from the Guru and say, oh, this is such wonderful katha. But then we should also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you also do this. You also do this. Don't just take. Give also. You have to give also. Everyone. Amaragya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given his order. People are so foolish. When did Prabhupada give the order? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the order. Prabhupada has given the order so many times. Krishna Upadesh. Speak what's spoken by Krishna or what's spoken by authorities about Krishna. Then it will be effective. Not that only one sadhu should be there and everybody else is just useless. Everyone should be take up the duty of spreading the message of Krishna even in household or life. Not that first I have to take sannyas like Sukadeva Goswami, then I'll speak something about Krishna. Everyone. Amaragya, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. Okay, what kind of questions today? Yes.
So it would also appear that even if a sadhu who is not unmata, mukha, jadava, he may also be alakshita, not really understood.
Because people don't know what a sadhu is. So even some people think if you're unmata and jadavad, then you're a sadhu. Or they go the other way. Somebody who's actually unmata, actually a crazy man, they accept him as a sadhu. When he speaks all craziness, they think, oh, it's very, so profound. Or are you simply ordinary? Just like that, who is that? Pundarik Vidyaniti, an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, outwardly quite wealthy man, opulent. And who was it who went to see him?
Gadadhar.
Gadadhar. And he thought, that why have I been sent here? He's an ordinary, he's a sense enjoyer, not even an ordinary householder. He's a sense enjoyer. You know, all opulent things and then he saw, you know, actually he's absorbed in love for Krishna. So the expression is you can't tell a book by its cover. Ramananda Roy also, outwardly he seemed just, again, mundane man, governor. You know, as soon as you're a politician, politician, Obama, Bush, all politicians. You know, we know these people. As soon as you say politician, we know he's just a glad hand or a guy who shakes your hand and he's, you know, just filling his pockets. So politician means practically thief. Mundane man in any case. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya recommended to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when you go to South India, be sure that you visit this Ramananda Roy. He appears, don't be deceived. It seems that he may be like an ordinary materialist and governor, family man. Actually, he's great, exalted Vaishnava. So we can't tell simply by the externals. You have to see how someone is engaged in the service of Krishna. Yes, Dattatreya.
Maharaj, very simple question, but it is very hard for me. What are the process of surrender?
What is the process of surrender? That's described. Anukulyasya sankalpa, patikulyasya varjanam, rakshasya titi vishvasam,
goptrutve
varanam tata, then
karpanya
atma,
nikshepa
karpanya.
So there are nine, what is that?
Six
items of surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpa, to accept everything favorable. It's a great challenge, actually. If something's favorable but unpleasant, people don't want to do it. If it's favorable for devotional service, just like getting up early in the morning, it's favorable for devotional service, but people like to sleep. There are so many things that are favorable for Krishna consciousness, but people don't want to do them. We don't want to do them. But anukul yasya, it's favorable. Let me do it. Sankalpa. I should do this. It's favorable. To get up early in the morning, to worship the deity, chant Hare Krishna, worship the Tulsi clan, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. It's anukul. And pratikul yasya, varjan. If it's unfavorable, even if I like it, I should give it up. People like tea, people like wine, people like television. People like so many things. We all have our mundane attachments. You know, we can talk about the big ones, intoxication, gambling, meat eating, illicit sex. Those are the first things. And then more subtly, we have our material attachments that we don't want to give up. But surrender means, yes, if it's pratikul, give it up. There's a statement in Nectar of Devotion that the sons of Krishna, if something was pleasing to their father, even though it might seem like poison to them, they would accept it as nectar. And if something was displeasing to their father, even though it might seem like nectar to them, they would regard it as being like poison. And surrender. Anikul yasya sankalpa, pratikul yasya varjanam, rakshasya titi vishvasam. And to think, Krishna will always protect me. That I can be bold and go anywhere and depend on Krishna. What is that? Deha patra kalatra adi shatma sanye spishatsvapi teshu pramatta nitana paschanapi and paschati. People think that my country will protect me, my physical strength will protect me, my family will protect me, this will protect me. But Krishna will protect me. And if Krishna doesn't protect me, then nothing will protect me. So I have to depend on Krishna more. If Krishna likes, Krishna will protect me. Otherwise, there's no protection. Then Krishna will maintain me. He's maintaining everyone. And why won't he maintain me? By the devotee, he's maintained by yoga kshema bhami. Krishna will maintain me. I don't have to worry. Simply I have to accept the not create an extravagant way of life, live according to Krishna's direction, just actual necessities. Why should Krishna maintain me if I'm living extravagantly? Just like we have our experience in BBT or in any business. If some expenditure is extravagant, what do? you cut it, right? If some department is not very productive, but it's costing a lot of money, that's the department that's going to get cut. Anything where you're spending a lot and not getting very much in return, you say, cut that. Or it's a necessary department, but they're spending and they're spending on half the cost they could do it. Then you tighten the budget. You say, no, this is not, we're not going to spend like this. This is crazy. Anyone in business, he looks and sees. Or even in family life, when there's when you're getting serious about the budget, you look and see what do we need and what don't we need, and you cut. So Krishna also, he looks and sees that these people are living extravagantly. Why do I have to fund them? Why should I be responsible for his extravagant way of life? All right, Maya can fund him, but I won't fund him. He can have illusory funding. He can be funded by the material nature, but I won't support him. But if someone's a devotee, then Krishna provides what he needs. I provide the necessities, not the extravagances. Extravagance may be there, but that's not Krishna's business to supply extravagantly. The devotee doesn't think, let me live extravagantly and let Krishna pay. Let me live extravagantly at the cost of, especially in a religious institution, if the brahmacharis or sannyasis think, let me live extravagantly, we're getting so much money. Let me eat nicely, have a big car, everything first class for my sense gratification. That's cheating Krishna and cheating the public also. The religious leaders or spiritual brahmacharya sannyasis, they're not meant for living extravagantly. They're meant for austerity. Or actually all the devotees of the Lord, they're meant for living with some austerity. Then the providing the necessities is not very difficult. The whole problem, everyone is Krishna's servant, but they want to live extravagantly. They want to live beyond their means. They want to live on deficit spending. Borrow, and enjoy. So it's a false way of life, because they don't know the real purpose of life. The purpose of life is to enjoy my senses, so let me borrow money and live nicely. On money I don't even have, let me live nicely. Or the other way, let me lend people money and charge extravagant interest and live nicely. Either way, it's cheating. The person is thinking, let me borrow money and live nicely. But he's being cheated. Yes, pay 27% interest and live nicely. And work like an ass to pay me back. And if you fail, I'll take everything. And the banker is also thinking, I'll live nicely, charging these fools so much money. But Krishna's, they're all being cheated by the material energy. Human life is not meant for sense gratification. We should live with ajivasya tattva jigyasa nartayas cheya karmabhi. We should accept only what we need to live, not live extravagantly. Not live extravagantly. When we come down to the bare necessities, then it's like extravagance is intoxication. I have this, I have that, I have this, I have that. Oh, I have a new this. Oh, I can buy a new that. Oh. We become intoxicated. Ooh. Swipe our credit card. Ooh. But sober person, is it actually needed? Is it actually needed? In business, the person who just spends, you know, sometimes we see these businesses, as soon as they're in business, they're off to the office furniture place to buy the, you know, the best office furniture and all sorts of things to fit their new lifestyle. And pretty soon their business has gone broke. Because that's not how you run a business, spending extravagantly. Just what's actually required, that's what we keep our spending tight. So in the business of human life also, our energy should not be spent extravagantly for material enjoyment, for buying so many things, for pursuing so many mundane interests. And life should be directed towards spiritual realization. Then Krishna will maintain me. I don't have a problem. If I want to live extravagantly, but if I live simply, then Krishna will maintain. It's not very difficult. Prabhupada said a householder invents some simple means of livelihood and Krishna helps him. Rakshas Yatiti Vishvaso Gopritve Varanantata. To be very humble and meek. What are they? Accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable, think that Krishna will always maintain me, to be dependent on Krishna, to be completely dependent on Krishna, then?
To be meek and?
Meek and humble.
Complete self-surrender.
And, completely surrender one's whole self to the service of Krishna. So the Prabhupada called it a surrendering process. Sometimes we see that, you know, people attend some religious gathering and there's a very inspiring talk and then people come up to the front and they sign a paper and they surrender. And then, you know, a week later, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, the surrender is worn off and they're back to what they were. Because there's no process. There's no process. There's simply very commendable sentiment that I want to give my life for God. But there's no step-by-step process. So in the Vaishnav Sampradaya, the Rupa Goswami and others are giving, here's the process for surrender. And therefore we see it's effective. Someone takes up the process. Take this chanting. Follow these rules and regulations. And gradually the heart becomes purified. And the more one becomes purified, the more one can give up anartha nivritti syam, the unwanted things start to get curbed down. So in this way, step by step, step by step, surrendering process. Okay. Something else?
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions different godly qualities. He mentions truthfulness. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport is mentioning that one should speak true, although it's not palatable for others. At the same time, we find another verse in Gita which describes speech in the mode of goodness, where it is said that we should speak in such a way that we are not disturbing others. So I was thinking how those two views.
Anuvega karam vakyam. One shouldn't speak just to agitate others. The materialists, they like to agitate others. They'll speak in such a way, if I can insult you in such a way that you go, you made my day. Children, they like to tease one another. When the other kid begins to cry, then the first kid feels, made you cry. So we like to do that. We like to put others down or put others into anxiety or, you know, show you what an idiot you are. And just to create we take pleasure in agitating others. If someone's angry, okay, well, you deserve it. So that's the person in passion and ignorance. It takes pleasure in telling people off and putting people down, taunting people. But a transcendentalist or a person in the mode of goodness, anurvega karam bhakyam, satyam priyahitam chriyat. He speaks the truth in a pleasing way. He's pleasing in his speech. He's truthful. He doesn't agitate others. But sometimes to agitate others is necessary. Just like violence. We don't go around with a knife in our pocket slashing people right and left. But sometimes the surgeon takes a knife and for a surgical operation he cuts. For the benefit of the patient. So the sadhu's business is sometimes he has to cut. What is that cut? Cutting means cutting material attachments. Cutting illusions. And the hearer may not like it. Ooh! May be disturbing to hear, painful to hear, but it needs to be heard. Just like sometimes in we have a financial advisor, and the financial advisor sometimes he has to tell us bad news. You know, you can't go on spending like this. You're going to go broke, or in business. You have to cut this division. It's losing. It's just hemorrhaging. Though that may be my favorite division. But it's not that the financial advisor just pats me on the head and says, yeah, everything's going nicely, don't worry, your business advisor or your personal financial advisor. No, he has to say, I've got bad news for you. Or your doctor. The doctor is trained, actually, that he should speak nicely, he should speak in a pleasing fashion, shouldn't agitate the patient. Patient shouldn't become disturbed. Patient should feel reassured. But sometimes the doctor has to say, you know, if you don't lose weight, you're going to die. If you go on eating these things, or if you go on living this way, you're going to die. If you don't take, you know, like I had a doctor one time, I had a finger that became grossly infected in Mayapur. And this wasn't working, that wasn't working. Finally, I had to go to Calcutta. And the doctor looked at it and, you know, it was grossly infected. And did some tests. He said, you'll have to take this, what are they called? Antibiotics. A course of, you know, one of those 7 days of powerful stuff. I said, well, I don't like antibiotics very much. He said, do you want to lose your finger? It was that close also. I could have lost the finger. As it was, I only lost the nail. But he didn't say, well, all right, if you don't like antibiotics, I can understand. You know, everybody, if you like more natural treatment, that's all right. Do you want to lose your finger? No, I don't want to lose my finger. Take it. All right. Yes, sir. So that's not just to agitate the patient, but he's got to hear the story. Take this or die. Take these pills or lose your finger. So the sadhu also, it's not just to get off. It's not just to get some pleasure in causing distress to others. It's for their benefit. They need to hear. Sometimes. Prabhupada, we always heard from Prabhupada, Nad Mam Drishkritana Mudha Prabhajante Naratama. Strong words. But Prabhupada explained one time, strong words are sometimes needed to awaken a sleeping man. If there's a fire and your friend is asleep, Prabhu. You have to, hey! Your business is to agitate him, to get him going. Or Prabhupada gave the example that someone's flying a kite on the roof and he's running to get the kite going up and he's about to run off the edge. Hey! You know, you call him any dirty word in the book, but just something to get his attention and stop him. Or he's going to break his neck. So sometimes we have to speak strongly, not for material advantage, but for someone's benefit. Priyahita. What is that? Priyahitam should be nice, but it should be for his welfare. Ultimately, what's priya? What's going to benefit me? I value my finger more than I value the sweet words. What's ultimately good for me is not the sweet words, it's my health. So finally, it's not just to please people by delivering something that will feel good for the ears, something that will sit well with people. We have to tell the truth in such a way, as far as possible, pleasing, nice, but sometimes strong, so people will get the message. People are so covered, Maya is so thick, that you have to sometimes speak very strongly, bust through. You want to bust through the Maya, sometimes we have to speak very strongly. And Prabhupada did that. He wasn't one of those gurus who simply speak platitudes and speak nice things about harmony and oneness and feeling at peace with ourselves and all of that stuff. That may sound very nice, or what is that? The secret of living or something, art of living, you know, you just basically do what you're already doing and feel good about it. Prabhupada wasn't like that. Everybody will give money for that. Everybody will say, oh, it's so nice. But that's not the real treatment. The real treatment is, you're a nonsense rascal. I told that story several times about how Mahavishnu Maharaj met that big man in, I think, Baroda or someplace. Baroda? Maybe Dwarka. Dwarka. Some big man, big, big industrialist, came to see him. And he's said, oh, Swamiji, the temple is so beautiful, and when I'm seeing the deity, I begin to cry. And the man was there with his wife and son, and said, I see the deity, I begin to cry. And Mahavishnu Maharaj said, you're a nonsense. He said, you're simply attached to money and having sex with your wife, and you want to tell me that you're crying for the deity? You're simply cheating. He said, everything belongs to Krishna, and you're simply a thief. Everything is Krishna's property, and you're stealing from Krishna. Your wife also belongs to Krishna, and you're trying to enjoy Krishna's property. Wife was happy, I belong to Krishna. You're trying to enjoy Krishna's property. You're simply a rascal. Man was stunned. And he thought, I'm going to say how I'm crying for Krishna, and Swamiji is going to say, oh, very nice. And Swamiji said, you're a rascal. He didn't know what to say. The man was totally stunned. He just left. But later he came back with his son. He told his son, you bow down to that man. He said, he actually speaks the truth. And that's the business of the son. Something else? That's an open-ended question.